So as I said before, because sometimes I can't stop myself, I say things before I plan to. Reading what we just read, all of Hebrews 10 and into 11, throughout that entire scripture, he's speaking of the former way of doing things, the old sacrifices that they had to make before Christ, and how they really truly paid for zero sins. They had to be done over and over and over and over again because sin was never truly paid for until Christ came. He says in here multiple times, just in this scripture that I read today, that it was made a sacrifice for all of the sins of his people once for all, that they would be forgiven forever. There's nothing more important in all the world than that. I was reading it, and I came to the end of where we finished, where it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises is faithful." That promise that all of the sins of God's people are paid for, now and forever, once for all, is faithful promise, because it's a faithful God that made it. One of the biggest differences between the world we live in and the things of God, the things of this world and the things of God, is change. The things of this world change all the time. I mean, every minute. Whether you're looking at a big picture, a societal worldview, or an individual view, each individual person, we change constantly. I know I do. I mean, from one minute I feel fantastic to the next minute I feel awful. And that's just in my head. That doesn't have anything to do with what's going on. Not to mention all the things that are actually going on. Especially right now. There's a lot going on. We change. This world changes. From happy to sad, from strong to weak, from harmonious to chaos, from belief to unbelief, we change. Our world changes. On the opposite spectrum, the things of God, or God Himself, simply cannot change. Not that He isn't capable of change, that's not what I'm saying. He's capable of anything. But if you think about it, God is already perfectly good in every single way. He is right in everything he does. If he were to change, it could only go downhill. And God can't do that. So if God is already perfectly good and perfectly righteous, no change is certainly necessary, and no change is even possible. God can be no less than perfect and good. So even if you think about it in a logical way, God can't change, okay? Not to mention the fact that he tells us he can't. Anything other than what God is now would be less, and God can't be less than what he is. If God is the apex of all things, any change from that would be a step down. It is impossible for God to be less than perfectly lovely and good. He is unchangeable, he is glorious, he is constant, he is steadfast, he is faithful. That word is used a lot, faithful. And that's the subject for today's sermon. God is faithful. God is always faithful, which kind of, you don't even have to say always, because that's what faithful means. If you actually look up in the dictionary what faithful means, it's loyal, constant, and steadfast, unchanging. The reason I do that is because as a kid, I remember hearing that word faithful, and to me it sounded like something that has a lot of faith, because it's faithful. But the definition is not that. It is constant, steadfast, and unchanging. Knowing and believing this is not natural for humans. We don't naturally believe that God is faithful. The only way a human being can truly believe that God is faithful is if he's been given sight, if he's been saved, if he's been given the ability to believe. And that is not a natural thing. That is a spiritual thing done through the Holy Spirit, done through God and only through Christ. It's not always a knowledge that we hold strongly to, even once we believe it. Our emotions definitely get in the way sometimes. Mine do, all the time. But that understanding, that belief that God doesn't change and doesn't waver and that His promises are true is always there. When it comes down to it, our hope is in God's promise through Jesus Christ. Even on the days where it feels like your unbelief is incredibly powerful, if it comes down to it, what do you do at that point? Do you go pray? Do you turn to God or do you turn away? The hardest days I've ever been through, and there's been some, we've all been through hard days. And I'm not even talking going through difficult times. I'm talking through a day where you just feel separated. Like in the scriptures that when the man says, I believe, forgive my unbelief. I connect with that on a daily basis. It is so easy to doubt. That's what we are made of. We're humans. We're flesh. But when it comes down to it, there's belief. Even when there's unbelief, I believe, forgive my unbelief. And that is only there always, not because of us, not because of, I might go through tough times, but my faith is still there. God doesn't let me go. If He did, I'd be running out the door. And I believe that. The promise, our hope in God's promise through Jesus Christ. And that promise is true and unchangeable. But like I said, this world that we live in, that we partially belong to right now, changes constantly. Right now is an incredibly good example of that. Both COVID-19. I mean, I'm not going to try to get into a lot of the topics of today, but they just happen to fit really well with this sermon. This has been on my mind for a while, and as I'm going through it yesterday, I'm like, wow, this, not to mention everything that's going on in our country the last week. Think this place changes some. This world goes through times of change. COVID-19 shut this building down, basically, for 2 months. 40 million people are out of work. Can't imagine what it's like to be a farmer right now. I mean, this world changes, and it can get awful. It can be very difficult to see the hate and the anger and the politics and the judgment. And then you've got what's going on this past week where an awful act spurs thousands of awful acts. And it can just be exhausting. You see all this and you're surrounded by what feels like darkness and evil and hatred, and it's so easy to get wound up on it and think this world is so far from God right now, right? It's hard not to have that thought. I'm here to tell you today that is an absolute lie. This world is not far from God ever. So if you look at the global picture of how this place changes, the societal view, COVID-19, the rioting that's happening right now, I mean, terrible things. And I'm not judging anybody. The only reason I'm not out there right now with them is because for some reason God has me here. That's it. If it wasn't for God's mercy, God's grace, and I'm not boasting in any way. I'm only boasting in that right now, because I would probably alongside him otherwise. But in all of this, combined with the media and social media, they can make you feel like you're immersed in negativity. Like this world is absolutely hopeless. These situations... Someone like me, my wife will tell you, I call myself a sponge a lot. Like, I tend to take the emotion from what's around me, and it takes over. So if I'm in a place, especially like I see these riots going on, it just, sucks the life out of me. I just get into a terrible place. It makes me, I don't even know if sad's the word. It makes me just feel lost. Like, what is going on, you know? And that's me, and I'm sure I'm not alone. So much hate and anger and fear and violence, it's easy to feel like things are out of control. But they aren't. The world is going through changes like this, and it means absolutely nothing to what's important. The earth and its inhabitants are doing exactly as God has planned. Every single aspect of this world, from the most minute thing you can think of, the flapping of a butterfly wing, all the way to the riots happening right now, to COVID-19, to whatever you can imagine. Every single aspect of it is tied to the will of God. The source of all things, pleasant or unpleasant, happy or sad, healthy or unhealthy, strong or weak, all things, the source, is the unchanging God who is perfectly good in every way. Turn to Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. Even now, with the way things can feel to us, the word of the Lord is right and true, and the world is full of his unfailing love. Unfailing, unchanging. It may feel like this world is lost and we're in a terrible place and it's empty of love, but that's an absolute lie. It says it right there. His word is right and true. He is faithful in all that he does, and this world is full of his unfailing love. Full. Not separated. It's not like his love is here with us today and not in Minneapolis or not in, pick a place, North Korea. China, any place, pick it. God doesn't have places where he resides. He created this world. He rules over every molecule. To feel like this world is lost and out of control is not true. It's simply not true. This God is sovereign, absolute control over everything. It says this world is full of his love. His love, his power, his grace, his mercy, it's everywhere. Just because we can't perceive it means nothing. God does as he wills. He loves as he wills. He has saved as he wills. He has condemned as he wills. He is God, and he is good and right in all things that happen in the world. He knows how this world began, and he knows how this world is going to end, and he knows absolutely everything that has to happen in between, and this is part of it. God is faithful. Christ is faithful. So just in the big picture, just like the big picture, the global societal view, God is faithful, but the individual view is just as true. And to me, it's so much more important. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1, 8 through 9. I read this earlier. I think I would have these marked ahead of time. That would make sense. 1 Corinthians 1, 8 through 9. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. This is what really, really, truly matters. Our comfort in this world is passing. To know that this world is under his control is helpful for our comfort. But it's fleeting. Our comfort in everything in this world is fleeting. It will come to an end. But what doesn't come to an end is exactly what this is talking about. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. If He has called you into fellowship with His Son, He is faithful in that calling. If you believe in Christ, that will never change, and on the day He comes back, you will be found in love. That's forever. That's the truth. That's what matters. It's easy to get swallowed up by the things of this world, but this is what matters. So often we speak about the Lord and His people. We refer to them as a group. There's nothing wrong with that. But personally, I go through times where I need to remember how personal Christ's sacrifice and Christ's love is. God's love and grace for His people is an incredibly personal thing. What Jesus did for His people was incredibly personal. And as Isaiah 43, it says, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." He calls each one of His people by name. So think on that. So often, and I'm only saying this because this is how my brain works sometimes. So often you talk about Christ saving His people, saving His church. And that's absolutely true. But His people are full of individuals. And it's not like when Christ was doing that work, He was only thinking of a group. He had each and every one of you personally on His mind. He knew you by name. Think on that. Do you believe in Christ? Do you believe He is your only hope? If you do, He called you by name. He knows you better than you know you. And He loves you more than you will ever understand. And it's personal. It's not because you're one of His group. It's He loves you. Jesus Christ doesn't just love His people as a group. He loves each individual. Don't think about the rest of His people, the rest of humanity. Jesus loves every one of His people with a love that you can't fathom. He loves you. Now think about that you. Make it personal right now. You believe on Christ. Think about this. He loves you so much that when He went to the cross and died and was punished by the Lord Almighty, He had you on His heart. You, individually. He knew you by name before the world began. He knew you by name when He was a baby in a manger. He knew you by name as He was preaching the gospel. That's a fact. It's hard to imagine, but think about that. He knew you by name when He was beaten and mocked and spit on and hung on a cross. It wasn't for a group, it was for you. If you believe on Him, He had you on His heart during that. And you want something humbling, think about this. He personally knew every single sin you've ever done and will ever do on that day. He didn't just feel the punishment for a bunch. He felt the punishment for every individual sin of every individual that He saved. More than we can comprehend. Saying it doesn't even cover it. He knew you by name as He felt the punishment for every single sin. And He knew you by name when the last of your sins was paid for. Everyone. They eventually ran out. He paid for every one sin of every one of his people until they were gone and there was no more punishment to be had. He's the only one that could do that. And he also knew you by name when he rose and walked out of the tomb victorious. And even now he knows you by name as he sits on the throne ruling over the world. And the beauty of all of that is that Christ is faithful. That everything I just said will never change. No matter what we go through here, no matter what we go through up here, that doesn't change. He paid for every single one of your sins personally. That can't be undone. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. It's already finished. Everything about Christ is faithful. His love, his word, and his work. The death that he died for his people is faithful in the way that it doesn't change. It's steadfast, unchanging. But we change. We change all the time, minute to minute. I have great days where I feel so full of faith and belief that I just feel like I'm walking on a cloud. And the very next day, I feel like I don't believe at all. Followed by the days where I'm right in the middle, followed by days where I don't even think about it. We change all the time. And you know what? That will never change. Not while we're here. So, there's a Christian artist. I'm not going to say anything negative. I'm not a huge fan of contemporary Christian music. Just not. I think I don't agree with some of it. And it raises a red flag for me. And maybe I'm too sensitive, but I'm just not a huge fan. But there's a song that I don't know how I ended up getting into it. A song by, I'm sure some of you here probably know her, Lauren Daigle, Christian artist. And the song is extremely popular, which also makes me usually raise a red flag. But the words in this song are absolutely spot on about how we can feel from day to day and how that doesn't really change. It doesn't change what God has done. So the words start, I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Does that sound familiar? It does to me all the time. Whether it's the amount of sin I do on a minutely basis, or the lack of prayer in my life, or the lack of even time thinking about God, can feel so guilty. And I hear those voices in my head saying that I'm not enough. And then the second line is every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. You know, I know the gospel. I was blessed enough to grow up hearing it. And I know the truth, and I believe in Christ, but that doesn't mean I don't hear these lies in my head every day. But that's what they are. They're lies. It's not the truth. Telling me I don't measure up. You're going to feel that. I do, all the time. But does that change what God has done? What Christ has done? No. The next line is, am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? And that one, for some reason, hits me so hard because I feel like I have so many ups and downs. And I know I'm not alone here. I cannot simply be the sum of those highs and lows. Then I've got no hope. Because my highs aren't going to outweigh my lows. And the only hope I have is perfection. And I don't have that. But Christ does. And he gave it to me. And then it says, remind me once again just who I am because I need to know. That is so powerful. Remind me once again just who I am. Do you know who you are? If you are a believer, if you are one of God's people, do you know what that means you are? You are priceless. You can't have a value put on you. God, the creator of all things, loves you. And loves you so much, he gave his own son for you. We all need to be reminded on a daily basis just who we really are. We're loved by Christ and by God. And it follows that. I'm just going to keep going through this. It says, you say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. That's me. Some days I feel nothing. But I read that it says I'm loved, and it's like, I just don't feel it. You say I'm strong when I feel so weak. You say I am held when I know I'm falling short. And when I feel I don't belong, you say I am yours. This is the perfect example of how we change, but Christ doesn't. And what it comes down to is us believing it. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing, but he says I'm loved. That is more powerful than what I feel. You say I am strong when I feel I'm weak. What he says is more powerful than what I feel. When you say, I am held, I feel like I'm falling short. Again, what he says is truth and is final and is powerful. And what I feel is nothing. It changes from day to day. How can it be anything? How can you have any belief in your emotion? Emotion is junk. Goes out the window. I'm amazed at how my emotions can change from second to second. But this truth never changes. When I feel like I don't belong, which is quite often, you say, I am yours. I'm a son of God. Who else in this world, when you call a person yours, who says that? A parent says it to their child. I can say that Oliver and May are mine. That's exactly what he's saying in the Bible when God says, my people, you are mine. And in a way that I can never say it about Oliver and May. I'll do everything I can to keep them safe and have a wonderful life, but I'm limited beyond belief. God, unlimited love, unlimited power to do everything needed for his children to be saved. So when he says you are mine, rejoice. You are his, and everything's going to be okay. And then it ends with, and I believe what you say of me, I believe. And that's it. Are you going to put your trust in your failing, faltering emotions? In the failing, decrepit world we live in? Or are you going to put it in the unchanging word of God? The unchanging grace? The unchanging blood of Christ? I already read this once today, but if you read it again, Isaiah 43, it says, but now that is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, which we already covered. It's an individual, personal summon. And then these three words, I have summoned you by name. You are mine. What a wonderful, wonderful group of words. He is faithful. He is faithful to you individually as one of his people. Your belief in him will never change. It will falter up here, but your faith in him will never change. It is given to you by him. So it says in the Bible, faith is a gift of God. It's not created by us. It's given to us. So that faith can't be faltered like it's something we would make. Anything we make is worthless. But God created that faith and gave it to us. So even though we may not perceive that faith every day, it is always there. And it is never not enough. Throughout every second of your life, personally, think about this. Every second of your life, as a believer in Christ, as one of his people, you had a faithful Christ with you every second. I mean, go through your memories. I did that the other day, and it blew my mind. Now, maybe this won't blow your mind, and it'll seem silly to you. But, I mean, I thought about, like, the day I was born, Christ was there, and he was faithful to me. You know, and 10-year-old opening gifts, Christ was there with me being faithful. I didn't even know it. I don't know it half the time. When I got married to Katie, Christ was there being faithful to me. When you struggle to believe, Christ is there being faithful to you. When you're looking for him, he's there. When you haven't thought about him for 2 weeks, he's there. When times are great, he's there. When times are unbearable, he's there. When you grow old, he's there. We waver. We have highs. We have lows. We are fickle and we cannot be counted on in any way. But Jesus is unchanging. He is faithful. He is always there and his work is done. And when you die, he is there. And through all of that, he has been with you and your sins have been paid for since you were born, since your 10th birthday, since you got married, since you got old, until you die. Your sins were paid for. And he was there with you, faithful. He has covered you with his unfailing love, showered you with grace your entire life and beyond. And that day when you die, you awake in heaven. He will be there. And you'll finally see him. Without the veil of this world and this flesh, someday you'll truly see that he's there. What a glorious and wonderful God we have. What an indescribable Savior. And if you're here today thinking, that makes sense. I want that. I'm a sinner. I know that. And I have no hope of fixing this on my own. I want a Savior like that, who has done it all, once and for all, has saved his people, and is faithful and unchanging. Pray to Christ. Ask him to save you. And the another wonderful aspect of his faithfulness happens in John 6:33. It says, all those the Father gives me will come to me. And whomever comes to me, I will never drive away. If you come to Christ and ask for salvation, knowing you need it, and knowing you have no other hope but him, he will never say no. That is a promise made by him. And he is faithful. He is unchanging. I want to end with the last verse that I started with today. Hebrews 11:23. Take this with you. I need to take this with me. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. I would love to be able to hold unswervingly to this. For he who promised is faithful. Crazy world out there. Crazy mind up here sometimes. but for he who promised is faithful. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for you and your faithfulness. We thank you that everything you have done is absolutely confirmed and final and unchanging. That your love for your people can never change. That every single one of your people is yours. That can never change. We thank you, God, that you are so constant and so steadfast. As nothing around us is. Help us to hold unswervingly to that truth. That you are the only real truth there is. Nothing else can be truth because it can change. You cannot. Your truth cannot. The power of your blood can never change. And if we've been washed by it, we are washed forever. We thank you, God, so much for everything that you are. And we pray this in your name. Amen.